Welcome to the Real Education Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Bowles, and on this show, I interview remarkable people who think way outside the box in education. To listen to more episodes, learn more about my guests, or become a patron of this ad and sponsor-free show, visit blakebowles.com/podcast. You can also email me at yourstruly@blakebowles.com. Now, on to the show. My guest today is Liam Nilsen, founder of the Endor Initiative of Asheville, North Carolina. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Blake.
What is the Endor Initiative? That's a weird title. Tell us, what is this thing?
Sure. So it is an emerging agile learning center. So soon it'll be Endor ALC.
Put in even more big words into something that we don't understand. I'm so confused now.
Well, we'll get to that. So, so it is not a school. That's something that I have to tell people a lot. it's a learning center. So it's part workplace, part learning space for high school age self-directed learners. So we kind of make a schedule together each day and then have different time slots, different times and places for working on specific things. But then all the participants, they're participants, they're not students, kind of direct their own time and choose their own projects. And a lot of it is kind of project-based and less class-based. So whereas a school is kind of a marketplace for content, you go there, there's classes, and you can take those classes. Endor isn't really that. We're trying to move away from that and be more of a support place for self-directed learners that want to create things in their lives. And so the facilitators are, you know, not there to teach, but there to help identify steps to take, remind people of deadlines they've set for themselves, help find resources, etc.
So it sounds in line with the tradition of the Sudbury Valley School free school model, and with North Star. We interviewed Ken was the first guest on this podcast who started North Star.
Right.
And so you're very careful to say this is not well, we might have classes and workshops and other organized stuff. You're very careful to say that this is not a school. And why is that? What sort of ideas do people get in their head when they consider you a school instead of a learning center?
Well, it's actually one of the things is a sense of entitlement that comes with a school. So if you're going to a school, you know, you kind of get certain things. You get classes. Maybe you get free lunch, you know. And we want it to be really clear that there isn't like a specific thing that you get when you go to Endor. You're becoming a part of a kind of co-creational community. and so you really get out of it what you bring into it. Mm-hmm.
And that's why you focus on that word participant instead of student, or, I mean, I struggle with this also, finding the right noun to give to teenagers who you work with.
Right. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is that I think it kind of conveys more respect to the participants. And it's something that I've actually talked about with them. I brought it up in like governance meetings. I've been like, you know, what do you want to be called? And we've kind of agreed that, like, sometimes it's okay to use students when explaining it to certain people that, like, won't, you know, necessarily get it right away. But generally, we use the term participant. And they don't have huge preferences, but they have voices that, that, you know, they feel respected being called participants and not students.
Mm-hmm. And most of the participants are legally homeschoolers in the state of North Carolina. Is that their status?
Yes, that is their status. That's another reason we are not a school, is because we're not that type of legal entity. We are incorporated and we're under a nonprofit, 501c3. And so we operate kind of the way a YMCA would, or any kind of club, or like, you know, ballet school.
Ballet school, the indoor ballet school.
Sure. Well, you know, ballet schools have, you know, you go in and have classes, but it's not a school. You know, you're not getting grades. You're not getting any state, county, or federal funding.
I don't know, Liam. I saw Black Swan, and that gave me a whole other view on ballet school. And if you're running indoor like that, I think we should put this warning out there publicly.
No, that's the warning. It's definitely not like that, because it's not a ballet school. It's not any kind of school, ballet or otherwise. It's really more of like a co-working space, for those that are familiar with co-working spaces, mm-hmm. Where people that are either self-employed or maybe they are the satellite employee of their company, instead of just working at home all day where they have plenty of distractions like laundry and dinner, they can go to a co-working space where they're working with other individuals that they can have lunch with or take foosball breaks with or, you know, attend meetings with, and then also have access to meeting rooms and a copy machine and a water cooler. It's an important one.
Water cooler.
Like co-working for teenagers is a big part of it, because really a big focus is like I find myself not even using the term learning that much, because I really, you know, want to have a focus on doing and then learning things as a necessity, or as mm-hmm. as you know, as necessary to do the things that the participants want to do.
So walk us through a recent typical day at Endor, and maybe a recent typical week is a better example, because I know that you have different offerings on different days of the week. So what does it look like from a participant's point of view?
Sure. So we are open 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We start each day by making the schedule. We have an extra long set the week meeting on Mondays to to plan things out for the rest of the week, so that Wednesday and Friday can have kind of shorter set the day meetings, where we have certain things that are ongoing. We have a research group that meets Keen's Happy Roundup, it's called. They pick a number of different topics at a half hour meeting on Monday. And then people do the research throughout the week and then present on that on Friday. So that's something that's reoccurring. Ethics discussion group has been one of the most popular indoor events for 2 years now. And that happens every Monday. We have a drawing on the right side of the brain workshop that happens every Monday right now. Listing the reoccurring
this is good.
Things.
Please keep going.
And we're doing a Udemy super learners course on Fridays. We're also doing like an astronomy kind of research group that's also presenting on Fridays. And so those things are happening on a reoccurring basis. And we just moved all our stuff over to Google Calendar to digitize it, so that we can just set things to happen reoccurringly, I don't know if that's a word.
Oh, sure.
And and so that participants coming late can attend that meeting virtually. So everybody is added to that calendar through their own Google account, and so if they're sitting on the bus and they're late for Endor, they can watch things go up on the schedule in real time and then add their own kind of offerings or meetings that they want to hold.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then it's also always viewable, you know, from home on off days or on sick days, etc. So we have our set the day meeting. Usually kind of fill the schedule with lots of different things. We actually have a community value and which is on our community mastery board, which I'll get to later, on having a full schedule. That I'll also get to in a minute, why we do that. Mm-hmm. After we've set the schedule, then everybody goes around and states their intentions for the day. And first they write it down. Most people use Trello, which is like a digital Kanban project,
which is an organizational software system.
Yeah. Where there's lists and there's cards and there's boards. I won't get into it right now. Some people use a habit tracking program called Habit RPG, which is like a gamified kind of to-do list and habit tracker.
I love that. I use it every day.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you're a habit player?
I am currently I'm a magician on a zombie pig with a woolly mammoth friend.
Dude, you mean you're a mage?
I'm a mage.
Dude, guess who else is a mage? That's awesome. Yeah, well, we have an Endor guild, and we go on quests together. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, so people set intentions there, and then and by that point, it is 9:30, and we go out and kind of seize the day. From 9:30 to 10, it's kind of like warm up hour, so to speak. We came up with kind of names for every time slot back when we were using a whiteboard schedule, but now that we're scheduling everything digitally, there's not really time slots, so things can take 15 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes, you know, et cetera. But that's kind of the warm-up hour, so there's always stretching and Duolingo in that first half hour.
Which is the website where you practice foreign languages, and it's really fun and interactive, right?
Yes, it is a gamified language learning software, yeah, and it's free. A lot of people are on that. A lot of people are doing Spanish, and sometimes we'll do like Spanish lunch too, where we'll have a whole kind of lunch table where you can only speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people are doing German. After that, it's 10. We usually have a number of kind of different group projects that meet. The Endor t-shirt is getting a redesign, so that's been having a couple of meetings. Somebody's putting on an Endor prom. So that's at a number of meetings. There's this social media project called Guess Asheville, which you got to look up. It's on Instagram, at Guess Asheville, where they post a picture of somewhere in Asheville each day. And the first person who guessed the location wins $1. And the participants who run it reach out to local businesses and get them to sponsor each month in exchange for some shout outs. It's like a real, you know, miniature company.
Cool. And so at this point in the day, it's sort of like breakout groups, different small groups working on these little projects you're describing.
Yes. And then people will also be doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And that can be reading the newspaper or, you know, drawing a picture or whatever. It's been really nice lately, so a lot of people have been going on walks early in the day. And then kind of the day kind of continues like that. We never schedule things over lunch because it's important to have kind of that time to just take it easy and chat and stuff. Though over lunch, we often have one-on-ones. So each participant has a one-on-one kind of check-in for 15 minutes with a facilitator. Mm-hmm. And so those often happen over lunch. Yeah. Yeah. And then we end the week on Fridays blogging. So this is one of the Agile Learning Center tools that I think is like pretty crucial. So at the end of the week, everybody sits down. We have an hour where everybody writes a blog post about it can either be about like what they did overall that week or like a specific thing that they worked on that week. And there's a couple of different reasons to do that. One is that it creates shareable value for other people in the network. So we're in, we're using a blogging network that all the other Agile Learning Centers are also in. If somebody starts a research group like Keen's Happy Roundup, you know, he'll write a blog post about how, you know, the research group went, and then somebody at another ALC 2 years from now wants to start a research group. They'll search research group in the network, and then somebody at another ALC, you know, at Endor has already written about it, and they get value from that. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, it's just like a solid hour for self-reflection, which is such a crucial part of the kind of self-directed learning process. You know, we kind of use this cycle of setting intentions and then creating things and then reflecting on those things at the end of the day. And that, you know, really exercises measuring one's own standard of success, which I really think is hugely important. And it gives you a sense of like, am I happy with how I spent my time today? So that's right. So back to blogging, that's another reason to blog. And then it also creates a really great record. So when people kind of quote unquote graduate from Endor, they don't have a degree or anything, but they do put together a portfolio of all the work that they've done at Endor. And they are often doing that, you know, while still at Endor as well, because we're one of the big projects we have is the internship task force, which is a group that meets and works on like resume writing and cover letter writing, so as to apply for jobs and internships, because a number of the participants aren't old enough to work. Mm-hmm. And so when they have this whole backlog, or not backlog, but when they have this whole record of blog posts that they've written about projects they've done, then they can really just pull stuff right off that. And that, you know, that can go, a lot of that stuff can just go straight to a resume. Mm-hmm. And it can be, you know, it can be pointed to, like, say, college applications, you know, say they want transcripts. If you can just, you know, give them a link to, like, you know, to your Agile Learning Center's blog, yeah, then you're good.
Have you had any graduates yet?
Not exactly. Not yet. We have one person who has kind of graduated. She was offered an internship at an indie game designing firm in the UK. And so she has been working at this cafe a whole, like, almost full time. And then she also started interning at a graphic design firm in here in Asheville. So she is, like, in a sense graduated. I mean, she just kind of like got to the point where she didn't need it anymore, because she was doing, you know, other bigger things, which is like, that's, you know, that's totally how I want to see everyone, you know, leave.
That's the goal, right?
That's totally the goal.
I am so effective and self-directed and motivated that I no longer need you or your program, Liam.
Right. Yeah. When somebody tells me that, I'm just, you know, I'm beaming. Yeah. Yeah.
So going back to the daily flow of Endor, it sounds like there's some all-group stuff, especially the stuff that happens in the mornings, where you expect everyone to be there. Like setting the intentions or setting up the schedule. Is that true that's something where whether explicit or implicit, if someone's doing Endor, you want them to be there for that?
Oh, right. Like, is that mandatory?
Yeah.
Right. So there are a few things that are mandatory. So setting the like check-ins and check-outs and blogging are mandatory. We also, at our last, our governance process is called it's through what's called a change-up meeting, which is another Agile Learning Center tool. We had a meeting just yesterday, and we have our meetings on Wednesdays, where we added one more kind of mandatory thing, which is that we have a half hour every Monday where if somebody wants to try like a totally new process, everybody has to be involved in that, because sometimes somebody will have a new idea for either a workshop format or a, you know, it could be a team building exercise, and it could be a, you know, totally great idea, But if it's just not pitched well and no one shows up, then it never really, you know, gets tried. Mm-hmm. So we just added that. Sometimes, you know, when there's disagreement at a change-up meeting, we'll decide to just try something for 1 week or 2 weeks or a month, and then just really reflect on how we felt about it. And if we're all, you know, reflecting at a high degree and being really honest with ourselves and each other, then, you know, after we've tried something, we really know if it is something we want to hold on to or not. But so the kind of mandatory things are signing in and out. Participants are free to come and go as they please, as long as they sign in and sign out. And so sometimes people will do that. So yesterday was somebody's birthday, and a bunch of people left early to go see a movie. And you know, I think that's great for them to, you know, practice their autonomy and take charge of their own lives. And if, you know, at 1:30 they want to go see a movie, if they go and create that for themselves, that's, you know, that is an exercise in directing oneself.
Yeah, and it sounds like the whole theme of your program is, you know, we are not your teachers. This is not a mandatory curriculum. We are helping you figure out and then do the stuff you want to do. And so if you decide you want to, you know, if you said you wanted to participate in this astronomy group, but then you went off and watched, you know, saw a movie instead, you know, great, go for it, enjoy it. But don't come back complaining to us about, like, oh, this astronomy thing didn't happen. Is that your attitude? Is that correctly summarized?
Yes, to a certain extent. But when that starts to affect other people, so if, like, somebody was supposed to say, to use that example, present at the astronomy research group, and then instead of going and doing their presentation, they went and saw a movie, then that's a real bummer for everybody that was looking forward to that presentation. So that's something that we talk about a lot, how behaviors of an individual affect the whole, really affect the culture of the place. So really, you know, what it all boils down to is a culture. And so it was pretty interesting. We had kind of this like reboot a couple of weeks ago, where during checkouts some people talked about kind of issues that they had, and we this was on a Friday, issues that they had with Endor and where it was, and we talked more about it on Monday, and then came up with like action steps and things that we wanted to keep and things that we wanted to drop. And then that following Wednesday we had our change up meeting and kind of signed those things into law, so to speak.
Now I'm curious, what are these things that the teenagers brought up that they said they were dissatisfied with?
I could pull it up, or a picture of it, of kind of the list that we made. One of the kind of big ones was about having guest presenters. So the way Endor had operated last year was more as like a pop-up kind of, we used kind of the school without model, the school without walls model, where we didn't have a set location, and we had different workshops and jams, kind of like specifically specific subject themed work parties.
Like the ethics discussion.
Like ethics discussion or math jam or coding jam. Yeah. And so a lot of people kind of missed that, and having guest presenters. And so one of the things we talked about was if you want guest presenters, then, you know, the facilitators are here to help you find those presenters and bring them in. But it isn't necessarily our job to just find guest presenters and have them come in and teach workshops. I do that a lot because I'll meet interesting people, and the first thing that I think of is, oh, will you come into Endor and teach a workshop about that? And so one of the big things that we talked about there was how like really it is so much more valuable if a participant says, oh, I'm really interested in forestry, and then says, hey Liam, can we get somebody in here to talk about what it's like working in the forestry service, right? And then if we craft that email together, or they craft that email, or they say they don't know how to do it, so like I sit down and write it for them, that really is so much more valuable than a like participant just showing up and opting in to a workshop or opting out of a workshop, So kind of the level of self-direction that we had at Endor in 2013, 2014, was opt in or opt out, right? There wasn't really a third option or a like fill in the blank option. Mm-hmm. And then now that really is our big focus now. And it really has been my focus since the beginning. But it was very hard, or it didn't really work to take that approach without having a set kind of location, where the kind of like spontaneity and mm-hmm. self-organization can happen. So a lot of people kind of had expectations from that. and so that ended up being really good conversation. Another thing that came up was video games, which is always such an interesting conversation in, especially in the alternative education world, where some people were like spending a lot of their time playing video games, and then they would check out and be like, yeah, I feel like I didn't do much today. Some people were getting really distracted by others playing video games. So that kind of led to a conversation about how one person, sitting over here playing a video game affects everybody else and mm-hmm. like the overall culture. Somebody said something that I really loved. She said, we've just got to step up our game. I've been kind of repeating that, thinking about that a lot lately. So at that meeting, the participants decided to ban playing computer games or playing video games at Endor, with exceptions for like if they wanted to have a tournament or something.
This is probably the first example in the history of education of a group of teenagers voluntarily coming together and saying, let's ban the playing of video and computer games
in
our community. That's truly monumental, Liam.
It was a very interesting day. Yeah. And it like one of the really, big things that came up during that discussion was like, well, do you play computer games at home? And, for many of them, it was like, yes. Then the question kind of became like, why would you do it here? If you're trying to think of this as like a workplace, like where you come and bring your projects to fruition, why would you do that here when you could do it at home and you could, do your more, important work or whatever here? So that was a really interesting, meeting. And then what was also very interesting was that was then overturned at the following change-up meeting, which was partially because of the fact that the change-up meeting is not mandatory. I tell everybody that their presence is requested but not mandated, and requested but not required, I always say. And so a lot of the people that had issues with people like loudly playing video games weren't at that meeting.
Classic coup d'etat.
It was very interesting. So that, but it was what was really great about that discussion was that somebody brought up that there's a much bigger issue there. Like, why would we as a community ban playing video games and not like just like falling down the YouTube hole or like going on Facebook for hours at a time? Mm-hmm. And so we only got so far into that conversation before just like dumping that no video games rule came up. But it was converted into a very kind of awkwardly phrased card that said like, don't do things that you could do at home at Endor. And so we're still kind of now specifying what that really means. And we got into it yesterday at our last change-up meeting, and then we scheduled kind of an in-depth conversation to continue that tomorrow. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to what comes out of that. I'll update, or just look, check the blog.
Yeah.
EndorInitiative.com. Check it out.
And just for listeners' reference, we're recording this conversation on April 23rd, 2015. The podcast will come out a little bit after that. So what about the issue of video games distracting other people in these public spaces? Was that addressed by your group?
So the one kind of thing was that it often gets loud. Like, people get really enthused, and then they get loud, and that can be disruptive to other groups that are in proximity. The other thing was that it often engages onlookers, and so people would be holding a meeting or trying to hold a meeting or a workshop, etc., and they would get frustrated because all the people that kind of had been planning on going to their workshop or their meeting or their kind mm-hmm. of offering are instead like over there watching somebody beat the final boss. And so that, I mean, that's one of the ways that it affects everybody. What the kind of conversation started out as, I hope this isn't too confusing, yesterday, the last time we kind of covered it, are we too often choosing to take kind of the easier path if we're faced with two, even though we see more value doing the other thing? And this is one of the things that I think a culture really mandates is, or kind of decides, one of the things a culture decides is that, or is what the easiest socially acceptable thing to do is. And a certain percentage of the time, and I think this applies to all people at all times, a certain percentage of the time people are going to opt to do the easiest kind of acceptable thing for them to do at that moment is. And I know that I do it. I know that I have a higher percentage when I'm, at home than when I'm at my co-working space.
Of doing the easy thing, the unproductive thing.
Of opting for, the easier thing that has less, or doing the easier thing, even though the harder thing has more value. And so... one of the big discussions there was like, well, is this a person by person issue or is this a cultural issue? Obviously it's both. But I was kind of more saying that it is a cultural issue because it's always exceptionally hard for an individual to you know, step up and break cultural norms. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier if everyone else is doing it. And so that's one of the really interesting parts of the kind of Agile Learning Center's tools, is that a lot of the focus is on culture and on intentionally shaping the culture to be the mm-hmm. way we want it to be. Mm-hmm. So now I can touch on the change up meeting process now, if you want.
You know, we've been having such good discussion. I want to make sure we have enough time to get to a few other of our questions.
Sure.
But I just want to say that your focus on culture and your focus on always including the participants, the teenagers, in the creation of that culture, and especially what you mentioned earlier about the processes of Endor, that those are up for discussion. And it's not mm-hmm. just like the content, like which guest speaker is going to come in this week. It's, should we even have a guest speaker, or should we run this thing differently? I just wanted to say that I really love that all of that is on the table, and that ultimately, you know, even though to the outside onlooker, it seems like it's a sort of a YMCA or a club mm-hmm. with some workshops and some activities for teenagers. It sounds like what you're really teaching is this culture and this ethic of, you know, don't just be a passive onlooker. You have a voice, use it, participate, step up and take responsibility for your decisions or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like what you're really teaching in Endor.
That is one of the really core aspects of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, that's definitely one of the things I want people to get out of it. For sure. Yeah. Good eye, Blake.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the history of Endor and about the name. Where did it come from?
Sure. Okay. So I grew up unschooled, on the Northeast, right outside of New York in Connecticut. And I attended the legendary Not Back to School camp run by Grace Llewellyn, up in Vermont as a teenager. And in 2009 and then 2010 and 11, there was two separate sessions of Not Back to School camp. They were each 1 week long. and there was a couple of days in between. There was 4 days in between kind of those two sessions, where, the campers were kind of left to their own devices. And many people would kind of go back to visit their families for those days. But there was a lot of people that had traveled really far and didn't have a place to stay. So I kind of saw that as an opportunity to put together an event that ended up being the first Endor unschooling festival. So I rented out this old bed and breakfast in Bonneville, Vermont, and held the first Endor Unschooling Festival in 2010, and got my mom and a friend of mine's mom to help bus everyone out there. And
so how old were you at that first year?
That first year, I was 15 when I did most of the organizing, and then I just turned 16 when it happened. Mm-hmm. It was a big hit. We had like kind of a workshop schedule. We had meetings at the end of the day. It was kind of modeled after Not Back to School camp in a certain way, but with a focus on kind of resting and taking it easy before jumping back in for another week of Not Back to School camp. It went super well. We had about like 45 campers that first year. So the second year, we did it again, ended up having like 55 participants. This was now in 2011. And I drew up this logo and got a bunch of silk screens made and made t-shirts. I ended up making pocket t-shirts because I just wanted to like go one up or one step up from the normal t-shirt. And now the redesign that I mentioned. And the redesign that I mentioned earlier of the t-shirt, now we're doing baseball t-shirts just to, you know, take it another step.
This is your guerrilla warfare. I see. Yes.
Yeah. That was also a big hit. And then I had this meeting with Grace. I was great. I was like 17 at the time, felt very official in meeting with Grace Llewellyn about how would Endor look in the future. And she was planning on kind of ending the or I'm sorry, she was planning on merging the two sessions of Not Back to School Camp, so there wouldn't be a need for, for this unschooling festival to happen in between them. Which I was like, great, that's fine. There was a need for it, and there isn't anymore. But all the while, it had kind of been my dream since I was about 14 to start a kind of self-directed learning center. And so now that I had kind of Endor set up and I'd made this Facebook page that had, gotten a bunch of had at least had some kind of mailing lists. So it turned into a like traveling event kind of network. So I ended up having one workshop there, or I'm sorry, not workshop there. I ended up having one event there that was Unschool Day at Occupy Wall Street. So this is fall 2011. So Occupy Wall Street is going on. Actually started while we were all at Endor slash Not Back to School Camp that year, and we all kind of get back to our homes and find out that this, huge, at the time, event is going on. So a number of unschooled friends of mine and I kind of jumped on board and were doing things at Occupy Wall Street. Had unschooled day at Occupy Wall Street there, and I can here I can get into kind of some funny details. Towards the end of Occupy in January, I went to Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio. A good friend of mine, Elijah Blanton, was a part of the first semester of that school kind of reopening after being closed for a number of years. And I went there and presented on Occupy Wall Street. They had this big teach-in, and I really liked the school and I got to know everybody. There's only like 30 students there at the time. And I decided to apply. So I got back home to the Northeast, and then shortly thereafter, got a job offer to work as a temp in back in Norway, which is where I'm originally from, at a preschool. And so Endor was kind of put on hold for a while. Long story short, I was not accepted into Antioch, and so I ended up staying out in Norway for another year. At which point, I moved here to Asheville. Now this is summer 2013. I moved to Asheville and kind of restarted Endor as what it was then, the kind of school without walls
The
kind of model.
pop-up school.
The pop, sure, yeah. And so another kind of funny story there is that some people joke about, the name Endor being because it sounds like it's from Star Wars, right? There's an Endor in Star Wars.
Yeah, we still don't know what the name means. Tell us.
Well, so that's not where it's originally from, but people make kind of make that leap pretty easily. But the kind of funny thing is that Elijah and I had taught a workshop a number of years before, called Putting an Unschooler on the Moon, which was all about kind of unschool culture. So unschoolers, at least in kind of in the North, network unschoolers that are a part of either, the Not Back to School Camp network or the kind of conference
The
circuit
elite, the
network.
intelligentsia
No, well, not
of
exactly, not
unschooling.
exactly.
Yes,
Just
I understand exactly.
the there's there's a lot of like lone wolf unschoolers, as I always called them, and then there's kind of like network unschoolers. And the network unschoolers spent a lot of time traveling around visiting each other, which I did a lot of as a teenager. Being in Connecticut, I had access to, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, Pennsylvania, just by jumping on the bus. And when teenage unschoolers visit each other, there's a lot of like it's teenagers hanging out. So you know, not always does very much happen. You know, there's a lot of like hanging out and watching movies and like, you know, maybe, you know, you make pizza one day. But so Elijah, who grew up in Philadelphia, he and I became very close when we were about 16, and we started taking this kind of new approach to unschooling visitation, where we would set these plans, and then we would go out and do the things we planned to do. And
instead of just hanging out the whole time.
Instead of just hanging out. And sometimes our plan was to like play Settlers of Catan. And sometimes it was, you know, do street art. We did this great like postering project together. And we really kind of realized that at the end of the day, or at the end of the visit, we felt like we had spent our time so much more valuably. We feel like we had spent our time in a much more kind of valuable way. Even if we didn't fly to the moon. But that's kind of where the joke was that, like, how are we going to send an unschooler to the moon? Well, you got to work together and collaborate. So to loop this back
to
Endor.
So where does the word Endor come from?
Right, to loop this back to Endor, it was kind of funny since Endor, in Star Wars anyway, is actually a moon. So like when Endor got off the ground, what was it? It was putting unschoolers on the moon. Yeah, sorry for that that kind of tangent. So
that's why it's called Endor. Yeah. You're putting unschoolers on the moon through doing more intentional, kind of focused, let's go do stuff instead of just hanging out. Liam, we're almost out of time.
Okay.
I have one last question for you.
Sure.
You are doing really cool work building community for unschoolers. For people who don't live in the Asheville area and cannot attend the incredible Endor initiative gatherings, what other types of places are out there? How can you find something vaguely similar to Endor? What networks, what models exist?
Ooh, well, you got the ALCs, you got the Agile Learning Center network. They're popping up all over the place. There's one in Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Uganda.
For all our Ugandan listeners out there.
Yeah, and Charlotte in New York. Otherwise, sure, there is the North Star model that is being replicated a lot now, which is something that I really respect about Ken Danford, who runs North Star up in Massachusetts, is that his kind of big goal with that is to not serve a population that is already doing alternative education, but to get people that are in school that don't like it out of school. And now he's really started to scale that. What with the big what's that called?
Liberated Learners Network.
With the whole Liberated Learners Network. Thank you. And now they're really scaling that model, which Agile Learning Centers are doing as well. And I really think that is what is going to lead to greater societal change in a bigger way than, you know, all of your little independent schools kind of reinventing the wheel on their own, which I think you get a lot out of the process of reinventing the wheel. But I personally know that having this blog network for just the facilitators, like the blog network that I referenced earlier, is hugely beneficial. Otherwise, There's putting an unschooler on the moon. There's unschooling together. I really think that self-directed learners that meet up and just decide to spend their time with intent and set goals and work at achieving those goals can really support each other in powerful ways.
My guest today has been Liam Nilsen. Thanks for being on the podcast, Liam.
Thanks for having me, Blake.
This is the Real Education Podcast. This show is produced with the assistance of Zen Zenith, who also created the music. For more episodes, visit blakebowles.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.